You're listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. If you would like more information or would like to connect with the show, check us out on Instagram and Facebook at Here's the Deal podcast. We hope you enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Here's the Deal podcast. My name is Dominic Kendall, and we're so excited that you're joining us for episode 7 of our podcast. And as always, I'm joined by my friend and co-host, Luke Chris. Luke, how are you doing, man?
Doing pretty good, man. How about you?
I'm doing well. I wanted to, real quick, ask you, just jump right in there with the important questions. This is something that I think that the audience will really care about, and something that will really, strike a nerve with most of them. Question is this: if you were on a desert island and you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life, and it would be fully prepared, it'd be exactly the way it is on like on the mainland here, but you're on a desert island and you could only eat one thing for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Does it have to be one specific food item, or could it be a food category?
I guess it can be a food, for the sake of time, let's say food category.
100% seafood, then.
Okay, what if we had to narrow it down within the food, the seafood category, what would it be?
Well, I couldn't pick anything fried, because I would need something healthy.
No, it would come to you fried.
Wait, so now it has to be fried?
No, it could be fried if you'd like it to be.
No, I was saying I couldn't do it fried, because if I eat it the rest of my life, that wouldn't be very healthy.
Yeah, you'd be dead soon.
Let's go with...
It's a hard decision, man.
Let's go with...
People want to know.
Blackened crab claws.
Never heard of such a thing. I don't like seafood, so that's why that would not be my go-to if I was on a desert island. I only had one food for the rest of my life. It would be, without question, a burger.
A hamburger, really?
Yep, for the rest of my life, that's what I'd eat.
That'd
well,
be a
because
short
it's
life.
Resourceful, it's resourceful. You could take it and you could, you know, just eat like a normal burger. You could take the top bun off and eat it as like a cool, almost like slider type deal.
These are not good arguments for a hamburger.
Well, it's one of the most versatile foods you got in the food kingdom. But anyways, the one thing about a desert island is, and that we didn't talk about, is we would miss out on good music. And in 2019, we are right now off. We are just a few days post Kanye dropping his new album, Jesus is King. And so the world is just stirred up about this gospel album. People are dissecting it left and right. They're looking at every single word that he's using. Is he okay with Chick-fil-A? Is he mad about Chick-fil-A? Who knows? I think he's okay with Chick-fil-A. But when we listen to songs and we allow songs that claim to be of Christ to influence us, we always need to be very careful about what we listen to. And we're not even talking about Kanye's album, but we want to look at something that is very mainstream. And I know the churches I've been a part of, and you as well. There's a specific song that talks about God's love, and he uses a word. The author of the song, the writer of the song, uses Corey Asbury. He uses the words reckless love in his very famous song, Reckless Love. It's kind of a one-hit wonder there. But he uses the word reckless love when describing God's love for us. And I think that's really the conversation that we want to have today, specifically about this song. As we've sung this, it's one of my favorite songs, but I've also felt the tension of hearing that and having a visceral reaction of there's something that I don't know if I'm necessarily comfortable when I think about the God of the universe and describing him as reckless. And so, Luke, I would love for you to take us away here and kind of lead us and start this off for us in when we talk about reckless love, is God's love reckless? Is what he sings about in that song, is God's love reckless? Should we be singing this song, or how should we approach it?
Yeah, just to start us off, I would love to read the definition that I just pulled up on Google for reckless, if that's okay.
Yeah.
It is of a person or their actions without thinking or caring about the consequences of an action. Here's a couple of synonyms. Rash, careless, thoughtless, ill-advised, unwise, impulsive, impetuous, wild, negligent. So if there's one thing that in his essence God is not, it would be reckless. He is not a reckless God. He is very, very orderly and wise and thought out. Right? There's nothing he does that is reactionary. Right? He knows all. He is not a God who knows the future. He is in the future. He's not a reckless person. That being said, from our view, from let's say this actually, from the lost person's perspective of God, I think you could describe him as a reckless God, right? To the lost person, for a God to save someone like me, who is so undeserving, that is a very reckless thing. And I think Corey Asbury, I think there's a video of him describing the song, and the song is based on the parable of the lost sheep, if I'm correct in that. And to the outside world, for a shepherd to leave 99 good sheep to go save one single sheep, that's pretty reckless, right? From their view.
Yeah.
And I also think, you get a lot of poetic license with music.
Yeah.
So, on one hand, I don't see anything wrong with it. On the other, God is not reckless for sure, but I'd love to hear what you think about it.
Well, for me, I would, I'm one of those who, when singing a song, I do have to be careful in a lot of those things, because I'm a more worshipful guy. Not that I'm talented in any way, shape, or form when it comes to worship, or leading worship, but when I hear that song, I do think of, from a worldly perspective and just a kingdom perspective, God's kingdom is upside down. To a lost and dying world, it would be perceived as reckless, even though it is far from it. And so I kind of think of it like this, if I can think of it in the best way, is when we say reckless, we could assume that what the author of this song is saying here is that God is reckless. He's those synonyms, those adjectives that you had brought up when going through that definition, reckless and not thinking and rash. But what I think may be true is that where he's writing, because I also look at the rest of his song, he doesn't seem like, at least just in the song, I don't know the dude personally, but I don't really know his story, but what I see in the song is that he's not one who's just this theological idiot or a potentially theologically naive. But I do see that when he writes this, it almost beckons back to when Jesus says, if anyone is to follow after me, you must first hate your father and mother. I don't believe that Jesus was talking about us being, for us to hate our father and mother, but I think when compared to the rest of the world and our affections, that we would then love Jesus so much that it makes everything else look like we hate it. And I wonder if, to the outside world, the idea that God would pursue us, that Christ would pursue us and look at us and find value in us because of himself and to give up his life so that we could have life. Man, to think through that and to think that he would come after me, he would leave the night and come after me, that does seem reckless. But I don't believe that what he's trying to communicate is that God is reckless, but it looks like a perceived recklessness maybe to the lost person out there. But they wouldn't look at that and go, oh, that seems orderly. But really, when we look at God and the way that he loves, it is foolishness to men. And and maybe even in what we perceive to be reckless, is the wisdom and the awesomeness of God. And his wisdom is for, to us seems foolishness, but to him is the utmost of wisdom. And so I like it. I love the song, and I love to sing it like that. But I also think it matters how you sing it. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. My thing is, he had to know going into this that reckless would cause a big stir. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why couldn't you just use a different word?
It's his sloppy wet kiss. You know? Like, he knew. I guess, like, man. He knew. Yeah.
I've also heard places that sing it that like the song, but they'll just replace it. And they'll say, relentless love of God or something like that. And I love that, man. Just replace reckless. Also, yeah. Corey Asbury, if I'm not mistaken on this, I'm pretty sure he's a Bethel guy. So, no, honestly, there probably wouldn't be this much discussion around the song if he came from anywhere that was more solid theologically. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People have this lens of Bethel, a good lens, a right lens, that almost everything that comes out of there is wacky. So, of course, when they write a song with one word that could be misused or misunderstood, it's going to get attacked. But yeah, if it would have came out of anywhere more solid, I don't think there would have been this big of a turmoil over it. But yeah, I mean, the song's good. I don't really care for it. And it's not even because of the word reckless, it's just because of the same reason I don't like oceans anymore. No, same reason I don't like oceans anymore, because they play it every third song far too much. But, but yeah, it's a good song. One of the things that matters about the songs we sing is I've always heard that the most influential theological force in your church is not going to be your teaching pastor. It's going to be your worship leader or your worship pastor, because nobody leaves humming the sermon, right?
Yeah.
At 3 hours after the church service, most people in the church are not going to remember anything that the pastor said, right? They may remember one good one-liner or something like that, but they're not going to remember his main points of his sermon. But for the rest of that day and the rest of that week, we will be singing and humming the songs that we sang that morning, right?
Yeah.
So I do think it could be dangerous to leave the church not remembering the good theology you heard from the sermon, but leave singing God has reckless love. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Especially to the lost world, to leave thinking that, hey, this God that they worship, they sang and they said he was reckless. I don't know if I want to follow a God who's reckless with his people. So I think there's certainly some wisdom in that, to know what you're singing. But I also wouldn't say that Reckless Love is the only song that could possibly lead people astray.
Yeah,
there are so many worship songs that the theology is just off.
Like David building the Temple of Praise. Solomon did. Solomon.
But, you know, like, a good example would be... A good example would be Good, Good Father, right? We love that song. Yeah. But if you leave thinking, man, I was so excited to sing and praise Jesus, he's such a good, good father. Like, no, that's wrong. God, the Godhead, is not a father. God the Father is a father, but the Son is not a father. The Spirit is not a father. So it's just helpful to know, which is tough because you can't always know what the person who wrote the song, what they were thinking when they wrote it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So where Corey Asbury, when he writes Reckless Love, would be thinking, man, to the dying, lost and dying world, leaving 99 sheep to find one seems to be a reckless thing. And that's all right and good, and that's within his poetic license. But to a person who comes in church and hears that, hey, this God they worship is reckless, that could be really dangerous. So I'm not saying don't sing the song. I like the song. It's okay. But I think it's just important to be wise about the words you use.
Yeah, and I think that's also one of the things is that as worship leaders, stepping on stage and just simply singing a song for that, just to sing a song and never teaching why we're doing it, I think we need to be more careful about teaching things, because I think with maybe a song like Reckless Love, if you need to take some, if you need to communicate that in such a way that people understand what you're talking about when you say reckless, I think that's important. But also, I don't think you need to pick that a song that you have to explain like that for every single song that you sing. But I do think that there's helpfulness in having I think there's helpfulness in having an explanation for songs like that. And I think you're right. We always have to be careful in knowing what we're singing, because what we sing is more than likely what we're going to believe. And you know, some of the greatest heresies in the world, and you and I have even talked about this before, you know, some of the greatest heresies in the world came together when and were spread by worship leaders. You know, Arianism, that was an old heresy back in the day, that you know, the Nicene Creed had to come together. Or was it the Nicene Creed? No. Yeah, it was the Nicene Creed that came together. That was really formed to combat something like a worship leader who was spreading false theology about a lessened Christ, a lessened person of Christ. Basically, his thing, the best way I've ever heard it explained was that if God was Coke, Jesus was Diet Coke. You know, same essence, but a little bit less.
And he was singing kids' songs, too. That's how he was spreading it.
Yes. He was singing kids' songs. He was singing. He was teaching the church. He was indoctrinating the church through worship. It wasn't even through the sermons. It was through his worship, and people were singing heresies all the livelong day. And so we just have to be careful. Listen, we have never been in a time more than right now that has a plethora, just an abundance of old songs at the tip of our fingers, new songs at the tip of our fingers, new renditions of old songs at the tip of our fingers. We are in an embarrassment of riches when it comes to good worship music, and we just have to be careful. And if you don't know, ask your worship pastor, ask your worship leader who is what this song means. You can learn a lot about the Lord by the things that you sing, so you need to be careful about what you allow to come into your ears. And so, but I'll tell you this: you can't beat Kanye's album. That thing's solid.
That's so
I think
true.
I can't really understand all the words, but it's solid from what I can hear.
Which is really odd if you actually listen to it. It says a lot about, you know, you said there is a lot of good worship music today, but there's also a lot of bad. And Kanye's album gives a perfect example of a guy making his first gospel album and it having far more good theology than a majority of the worship songs out today. It just blows my mind. Also, Kanye is exactly what we wanted in Chance the Rapper from 2 years ago that Chance the Rapper never fulfilled.
Is he alive still? Like, where he at?
Yeah, a couple years ago, Chance the Rapper. So he has that one song, you know, Praises Go Up, Blessings Go Down. And people, he brought somebody on stage and sang a worship song at some awards thing. I don't know what it was. But and people lost their minds, like, oh my gosh, Chance the Rapper is this huge Christian artist now and all this. And like, he had one song that was on an album filled with songs about drugs and sex and all this. And I'm like, I don't think he is, though. And every Christian lost their mind. And now Kanye is actually living that out. So,
yeah. Wow. You know what that is? That's reckless of him.
Okay.
And so, but this is good. I think this is helpful for us to be able to look over different worship songs and kind of look at what they mean. I hope this maybe brings attention to and allows us to think again, think more clearly when it comes to worship songs that we sing, that we wouldn't just take them for granted because somebody else wrote them and claims to be a Christian and claims to have some theological fortitude about themselves. But I hope that this allows us to think twice. When we hear a new song that we like, does it match up with God's word? Is it true to the character of Christ? And is it something that exalts Christ, or does it exalt me? I think those are really good questions to ask whenever we're listening to a new song. And so, Luke, you got any other comments or closing comments on any of those?
I don't know what you pull away from this podcast if you're listening, but I would say for this topic specifically, we've been pretty hard on other things, but we are both either indifferent or for the song. So,
yeah, think that's always good to kind of leave them with where we're at. I don't want them to be wondering. Normally, I'm the guy who's against everything, this one I'm for it. I think it's great, and I think I think with wisdom and discernment, we can walk in this and be able to sing this song with all glory going to the Father and with right hearts and minds. And so that's good. And I think worship music is helpful, and we need to. I think it's a beautiful gift that the Lord has given us. And so we're so grateful for you guys and for your listening and subscribing to this. And we hope that after this, you take the initiative, you take the time, and you look at the different worship songs that we have. I mean, we have some great ones. We're about to take a group of college students to Passion, and we're going to hear some wonderful songs. But we need to be very sure that we're singing truth, because one day you and I will give an account for our minds and the way that we think and the words that we've said, and we need to be careful of that. But I encourage you, listen to some good Christian music today. Listen to some worship music while you're in the shower, on your way to work, or while you're getting ready, or whatever. Let music fill your soul, and between the time of letting music fill your soul, we're so grateful that you listen to the Here's the Deal podcast, and we hope that this is beneficial for you. Remember, you can always connect with the show via Instagram or Facebook, or you can email us. All that information we can put down in the show notes at the bottom. We are so grateful for you guys. If you guys have questions, if there's topics that you would like for us to cover, then we would love to hear from you. So you can contact us, let us know, and I encourage you, share this with a friend, share this with somebody. If you can go get your mama's phone and just have her subscribe to it, that would be awesome too, because the more you subscribe, the more that we're able to get out there and people are able to take in the content. We're so grateful for you guys. Be looking for a new episode, hopefully here coming soon. We love you guys. We're thankful for you, and thanks for joining us on the Here's the Deal podcast.